Blessed this morning, it is something, as I was studying this out, I read a book. In fact, I brought some that I'll give away here at the end. But Derek Prince was saying in the book as he first started writing it that, you know, he said this is going to be more of a teaching book than it is a preaching book. And so as I'm teaching on fasting today, I think it's along that line. I think it's more of a teaching than a preaching. And it's, I believe that you'll get something definitely out of it as we talk about fasting this morning. So let's press in with some prayer as we get started. So Father, we are yielded vessels to you this morning. We openly say, Father, have your way, Lord. Let us be in one with you, Father, as you have made us through your Holy Spirit, that we can be one with you, that we can connect with you. And right here and now, Father, I pray that you use your word and your scriptures, use the stories and examples and things that I share, Lord, to be able to penetrate hearts and help us to truly understand our walk with you a little bit more than we did when we came in, Lord, that we can grow in our faith and allow you to prosper us in every possible way that you want to, Lord. We're trusting you again this morning. Have your way in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So we started last week talking a little bit about prayer and fasting, okay, and something that we want to press into as we get into this coming year. We talked about last week the necessity of prayer in a believer's life. For every true believer, our relationship with God in some ways is based on our prayer with Him, our communication with Him, that we have an established relationship. How many know there are Christians, you don't have to raise your hand, but there are many Christians who will go through an entire day and never talk to God once in prayer. Okay, or maybe if they do, they stepped out and maybe they prayed over a meal or they prayed before they went to bed. But throughout the rest of the day, now if I'm hanging out with my best friend and we don't talk all day until the end of the day and then we finally say, hey, good night, hope you have a good night, thanks for being with me today, it would be kind of a stingy relationship, to say the least. It would not be very healthy if you're spending that much time together. And I said earlier that I think sometimes Christians forget that God is their God, that they're going through life like, you know, I just got to get through this, and I got this going on, and I got this and this and this, and they do all these things, and they totally leave God out of the picture throughout the entirety of the day. I just want to encourage you. This is total bunny trail from last week, but just want to encourage you to spend that constant communication, to always be talking with God about what's going on in your life. You can ask Him, you know, which pair of shoes to wear today. You can ask Him, you know, your car is turning over, but it's not starting because it's 14 below zero out. You can talk to God right then and there and say, God, I need this vehicle to start today. I've got to get to work. I pray in the name of Jesus for it to fire up, and it will. Okay, you can enlist your relationship with God, and also at the same time, some of you are going through stuff right now, and you can share that with God. It's not like, you know, that God doesn't already kind of know what's going on in your life. He does. But as we pour ourselves out to Him, it lets Him know what's important. Okay, I just read somebody this week. I was reading their a book by this guy, and he said that prayer is what comes out of your heart. Okay, and that lets God know what's important to you. So if you want to know what's important to a Christian, find out what they're praying about. Okay, and if they're not praying, then their relationship with God and having that as part of their life is probably not that important to them. Okay, so I just want to encourage you to pray. We talked about that a little bit last week. It's part of being a true believer is having prayer. So we've just declared January as a month of prayer and fasting. Okay, and it's worldwide. People are doing this exact same thing. Okay, we're all in it together as the body of Christ, trying to pray and fast for our communities, for our church. We're praying for our friends and our families and our coworkers. We're praying for God to manifest, for His power to be released. We're praying for revival. Okay, and I want to share a little bit this week as we talking about prayer and fasting, just a little bit about fasting. Okay, because fasting is something that is, it's a real part of the body of Christ, and yet very few people have ever experienced it or done it or maybe been taught on it. So I want to share a little bit. First, we'll start by clarifying what fasting is all about. Okay, now the kind of fast that we're talking about today in a general sense is defined as abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Okay, pretty basic. But abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Okay, and I'm going to say this. I don't have it in my notes, but I'm going to say it right now because it just came to mind. But spiritual purposes, I want to acknowledge that when you fast, you open yourself up to the spiritual realm. Okay? Good and evil. Okay? And you need to keep that in mind because you open yourself up in such a way that you're able to hear and see things more clearly. You're going to see probably some of the demonic stuff more readily. You'll see it, acknowledge it, be able to say that's what that is. But you'll also open yourself up to that, the Holy Spirit, and you see and you hear things. And I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but just know that fasting is a spiritual thing. Okay? It's a specific and powerful way for your spiritual life and your relationship with God to launch to the new level. That's what fasting is. I'm going to say that again. It's a specific and powerful way for your spiritual life and your relationship with God to launch to the next level. Okay, how many want that in their life? 2? 10? Okay. I want that in my life. Okay, and I truly want to go constantly going to that next level. I think it's more than, I won't get into that, but I think that that's something that we should want for our life, is to want to get deeper, to grow closer, to have more intimacy, to have more understanding, to walk in the anointing and the power and the glory of God a little bit more than we did this day or tomorrow or the next day. We want to keep getting deeper and closer with God. Okay, and that's something that we'll do throughout our entire life. We never arrive. If you think you've arrived, you can start right there. Okay, but it is a powerful way. Fasting is to get us to that next level, and I'll explain this as we go along. Knowing what is happening in our world right now, okay, if you're a little bit aware, you know, wars and rumors of wars, there's earthquakes, there's all kinds of things that are happening, but there's relational things, there's artificial intelligence, there's, you know, these little black boxes that control people a lot. There's things that are going on right now. Okay, knowing what is happening in our world right now and knowing about the deceptions that are coming in the days ahead, that closeness and that intimacy with God that allows us to be able to hear, to recognize and receive what God is saying to us becomes that much more valuable. Does that make sense? If we see it happening right now, we can kind of look around and say, yeah, the world's kind of tanking right now. Spiritually, there's a lot of negative stuff. I just saw the other day as a headline, it was a Christian Broadcasting Network has a news page and I get their headlines and articles. And I read an article about the Sunday gathering, okay, the Sunday assembly of atheists. Okay, it's a Sunday assembly of atheists. It is one of the biggest atheist churches in the world. It listed how many millions of people are a part of it. Okay, that all over the world, it is called the Sunday assembly, and they gather together on Sunday mornings to share testimonies and sing songs together, just like we do on a Sunday in church. Okay, it is because of the fellowship, the community, the reinforcing of what people believe. Atheists see that in the Christian church and say, yeah, we should be doing that too. So some people started it, I forget how long ago it was, back in the 80s, I believe, and it has blossomed. Okay, so we need to know that that stuff is happening right now, and the closeness we can have with God, getting intimate with Him, being able to hear what He's speaking to us, is all things that we as Christians need to grab onto so that we don't lose sight of what's really important, or we lose sight of the things of God. Many people are going to be deceived in the last days. Okay, giving heed to, the Bible calls, King James calls it, seducing spirits. Okay, giving heed to or following after false Christs. Okay, now I don't want to be one of them. I don't let astray. I don't want you to fall away. You know, the Bible talks about a great falling away. Okay, some Christian leaders are saying that's happening right now. Look around you. Okay, it's happening right now. And so I don't want you to be led astray or to fall away from the true gospel either. Okay, and that's why I want to share something that's, I think, very vital for the body of Christ. Okay, that's one of the reasons why we are calling for a specific time of prayer and fasting right now. Okay, we're going to teach on how to pray and how to fast and how to do these things so that you can be effective in keeping you and your family on the right track. Okay, because some of you know, if you're the head of your household, if you're the guy, or if you're in a single mom house or whatever it is, or if you're single, you're the head of your household. It's up to you. You have to keep yourself on the right track. You need to go in the right direction, and you need to be close to God in order to do that. If you have a blockage or you stay away from God, you're going to fall away to a certain extent. Now, I'm sure I could ask for a show of hands right now on fasting. I could ask how many people fast on a regular basis as an integral part of their faith in God, and very few hands would go up. Does that mean that fasting is not important? We don't really need to do it. Is it a thing of the old? We don't have to get into fasting. How come the body of Christ is not fasting today? Okay, not too many are. But just like prayer, just like we looked at prayer last week, how it is a well-defined, frequently taught, and implied part of your walk with Jesus Christ, so is fasting. Okay, so is fasting. It is a key missing ingredient to the body of Christ today. Even now, we call for a fast. I'm going to teach how to do it. I'm going to encourage you to do it. And even then, only a tiny percentage of the body of Christ will actually fast. That to me is pretty alarming, but I'm hoping that after today that a few more will be inclined to do that. I know of, I think, one other person that fasts besides my family or in this church right now that's fasting on a regular basis. So I'm hoping that number will go up. See, last week when we talked about our mandate to pray, we read the passage where Jesus literally said, when you pray, right? And then he would explain how to go about it. Okay, Jesus said that when you pray, not to be prideful about it. Okay, like the hypocrites do that pray on the street corners and trying to draw attention to themselves, like, you know, look at me, I'm praying, you know? Okay, like making the act of praying what they were after instead of the actual response from God and their communication with him being their focus. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, many of us have heard of that. Jesus describes prayer and answers the question as to how to pray. Okay, so he describes what prayer is about, and he answers that question on how to pray because the disciples had asked him. And then immediately following his teaching on prayer, he says this. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 16. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Okay, Jesus says, when you fast, right? And he says, and he kind of explains how not to do it. He said, when you fast, don't make a big show of it. Try to get people to think that you're something special because you fast for a long time or you fast often. But to keep it as a solemn experience between you and God. Okay, that's real similar to how we describe prayer, right? It's something that, you know, you don't want to stand on a street corner and shout out, I'm praying, everybody, watch me, I'm praying. Okay, prayer is something that is between you and God. You can pray in crowds, you can pray on a street corner, but you also should pray in private with your Heavenly Father. But notice that just like Jesus said, when you pray, he says here, when you fast. Okay, when you fast. And then he describes how to fast or how not to fast. That means that we are to be praying and we are to be fasting. Okay, it is a biblical mandate for us as Christian believers. So let's talk about how to fast. Okay, what should we do and what should we not do as we fast? Well, first off, know this, that fasting has tremendous rewards for the Christian believer. Okay, it has rewards. We just saw that in this verse that says, when your heavenly Father sees you, Okay, when he sees you fasting, he shall reward you openly. Okay, that means that there are some tangible, spiritual, physical, and emotional benefits that come into your life exclusively through fasting. Okay, think about that. There are tangible, spiritual, physical, and emotional benefits that come into your life specifically through fasting. Okay, so that means if we don't fast, okay, then we're depriving ourselves of some blessings that God wanted to bring into our life. Fasting is a divinely inspired manner in which the believer is to seek God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 says this, 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, seeking God through prayer and fasting is guaranteed to bring increase in your life. But you want to go about it with the right attitude. We already see that in how Jesus says how not to fast. You know, we just read that your goal in fasting is not to make sure that everybody knows you're fasting and thinks highly of you because of it. You ever met somebody like that? Anybody know somebody that has fasted? Okay, either you have fasted or you know somebody, anybody? Okay, a few people. Okay, I've known people many times over the years that have fasted. Some like to let you know that they're fasting. Okay, and that kind of goes against what Jesus is saying here. Another aspect of your attitude, though, that is just as important as being humble as you do it, is to understand that you are not fasting to make yourself suffer until God listens to you. Okay? You don't have to punish yourself to get God to hear you. Okay? Fasting is not about, God, I'm not going to eat till you talk to me. Okay? It doesn't work that way. Okay? Fasting is not about forcing the hand of God, in other words. Okay, now fasting does open up your understanding to the ways of God. It will open up your understanding to be able to hear the voice of God, but you are not doing it to make him listen to you or else. Okay, it's not like, God, I'm not going to eat till you talk to me, or God, I'm going to die if you don't talk to me. We don't do that with God. That sort of a forcing his hand is not scriptural. Okay, when you're fasting, you are not punishing yourself for sinning. Okay? It's not, I did that yesterday. I'm not going to eat for 2 days because I did that. You know, we don't punish ourselves through fasting. That's not what it's about. It's not about making yourself as some sort of a sacrifice to God. Okay? I'm saying all this because I know people that have done that. Right? People will punish themselves through fasting, and that's their way of trying to relate to God or get him to do something in their life. You know, there were some in the scriptures that did it for the wrong reasons, and God spoke to them through the prophet Isaiah to help them get back on track. And I want to read that to you. It's in Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. Okay, think of this as God speaking. He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, God says, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and you exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Then God explains through Isaiah what a fast is done to accomplish. The very next verse, verse 6, says this. It says, God says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. See, your body is not evil. Now, your body is described as the temple of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus saved you, he saved you spirit, soul, and body. Okay, your spirit's going to heaven, but your body belongs to God. It is not evil in and of itself. Okay, you will be much more conscious while you're fasting about the works of your flesh. Your body is going to speak to you during your fast. Anybody know what I mean by that? Okay, your body will speak to you during your fast. How many people get cranky when they don't eat? Okay. How many people get a headache if you don't drink coffee? How many, you know, think of that. Your body speaks to you. I've learned. I'm tuning in. Okay. You start listening to your body. Okay. And that's what will happen as you fast. You will begin to hear your body. Okay. But you're not fasting to try to punish your body or to correct it in some way. That may happen, but it's not part of why you fast. Okay. You're going to probably have some headaches. You're going to have hunger pains. Have you ever had hunger pains? Okay, you don't eat for a day or two. Yeah, you have some hunger pains. Your stomach kind of hurts sometimes. Okay, you might feel weak in your flesh. My friend that led me to Christ was a man of God that when I knew him, but prior to that, he had been in a state penitentiary. For various things, and while he was in there, one of the things that happened is he gave his life to Jesus. He began to spend time with other Christians in the Christian ministry, the prison ministry that was going on there, and they began doing things like I'm describing, fasting. And this guy fasted, and I forget how long it was. It was more than a week. It was a couple weeks or longer. And he talked about having to walk up the flight of steps to the, you'd go, you know, down to the cafeteria or whatever, the place where they ate, and the other rooms that they would go to for recreation, and then you'd have to go up this flight of stairs. It was like two flights of stairs to get back up to their level where he was in his cell was. And he talked about being so weak that there was no physical way at some point that he could actually walk up those steps. But in the spirit, he was connected with God, and he just left it at that. And he said he felt like the Holy Spirit carried him up those steps to get back to where he needed to be. That even though his flesh was that weak, that God was helping him to do what he had to do to still remain in that. Okay, so your body will get weak at times from fasting. But when you're fasting and you're doing it right, it's also a time when you will have more mental and spiritual clarity than you did before. Okay, it opens you up. You begin to see things that you've never seen before. Okay, you might see things about yourself that were previously hidden. You didn't even know that that was a quality you were carrying around or something you were displaying. Okay, you may have things in your life that maybe you have it covered up. Okay, you didn't really want to get it out, but God will help reveal it at least to you during your fast so that you can begin to deal with it. Ultimately, during a fast, you're going to see how your spirit plays a much more powerful role in your life than you probably realized. Okay, like my friend saying, the spirit carried him up a flight of steps. The Holy Spirit is powerful in a person's life. We've got to learn to tune into that and allow that to be our lead and our guide. You know, Jesus told the disciples how to overcome sinful temptations by telling them, the spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Okay, in other words, the spirit inside you is willing and wanting and leading you to do the right things. So when you intentionally suppress the flesh and you allow the Holy Spirit to dominate in your life, you're going to find yourselves doing the things of the will of God more freely. Okay, fasting helps you to fulfill Romans 6:13. Okay, look at this scripture. He talks about, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, when you're yielded to the Spirit, you begin doing the things of the Spirit. So as we suppress that flesh and we say, no, the Holy Spirit is going to lead me on this day, this week, this hour, whatever it is as we're fasting. When we give that to the Spirit and say, the Spirit is going to lead me, we do the things of the Spirit. We don't give in so easily to the works of the flesh. Now, when you fast, you should have some goals in mind. Okay, don't just fast, just wake up one day, and I think I'll fast today. Not sure why, but just going to do it. Okay, I recommend having goals in mind. In fact, I read something, Andrew Womack, in at least two of his books that I've read, he says, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Right? So have plans, have a goal, have something that you're aiming towards. One of the main objectives, one of the main goals that we use fasting for in our life is to humble yourself. Okay, fasting is a way of giving up control so that God can be in control of your life. Okay, you're going to let Him be in charge of your life. David said in Psalm 35, I humbled my soul with fasting. Okay, God wants you to humble yourself. How many know that? Peter said that, right? He said something about being clothed with humility. Okay, for God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Okay, humbling yourself is important. Believe me, I've seen it. It's a much better ride when you humble yourself rather than let your circumstances and situations bring you into humility. Okay? Humble yourself. Make it a point to say, I'm going to depend on God rather than my own works and my own flesh. Humbling yourself comes with a reward. Jesus said, Matthew 23:12, He said, whosoever shall exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know, another purpose in fasting is that it will help you to draw closer to God. Anybody want to be closer to God? Yeah, a few of the churchgoers want to be closer to God, right? Hopefully we all do. Okay, that's why we're here, I would hope, because we want to be closer to God. We're not going through some ritual. We're not going to church because we have to check it off our box. Okay, we're going to church because we love Jesus. We want to be in His presence with His people. We want to learn and grow and get closer to God. James told us that if you draw near to God, that He will draw near to you. Okay, so as that moment where I'm saying, I'm going to abstain from food. Okay, on this day, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to spend time with Him. Okay, as that we do that, we are seeking Him. We are drawing near to Him, and the Bible assures us that when we draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And now as this happens, you begin to hear more clearly what the Lord is speaking to you. Okay, that's important, to hear what the Lord is speaking to you. How many know your emotions can control you? They'll guide you. Okay, you can move out of fear. You cannot move out of fear. You can step out or do this or don't do that. You can act out of anger. You can be jealous. You can have all these things that rise up. Some are God-given emotions that He gave us for certain purposes, but they're not supposed to direct and guide and dominate your life. Okay? We want the Holy Spirit to dominate. Now, many of you know that I've been a part of church plants all across the Midwest, 5 different times so far. Okay, and as part of that, each and every time that my pastor would say, you know, Gary, I believe the Lord is calling us to move to such and such a place and plant another church, I would immediately fast and pray until I heard whether I was supposed to go with and help or stay put where I was. You know, emotions will run high when you have a potential life-changing event on the horizon. Something like that. Somebody says, hey, I'm moving here. You want to come with? Right? That puts this emotional stuff out in front of you where it's going to mean your emotions are going to get very elevated at that point. So I wanted to eliminate my soulish motives and hear clearly what the Spirit of God wanted me to do. Think about it. A new city, a new job, new friends, but I get to keep the same pastor? Yeah, that sounds like in a first impression, that sounds awesome. Okay, that sounds like something I wanted to do. Okay, it sounded great to me in the flesh. Okay, in fact, the very first time, I'll never forget, my pastor called me and two of my friends into a room together. We were all very close, and he was kind of letting people know before he made it a public announcement. And so he calls me and two friends into his office, and him and his wife, and they were explaining to us that they were going to move from Rapid City to Laramie to plant a church. They had had a church in Laramie before, and they were going, it had died out, they were going to replant. And they offered and said, if you guys wanted to go, you can. But he wasn't pressuring. In fact, he tried talking us out of it. My first friend says, I'm going. You're going, I'm going. Okay, we were still sitting in the room. Very first encounter we had, first time we learned that he was moving. My friend says, I'm going. My friend sitting next to me says, me too. And I said, I'm probably going to go, but I want to pray about it first. It ended up that we all three moved to Laramie. But my two friends only stayed with that church and ministry for about 2 years. They ended up either moving on or going in a different direction. But I stayed with that pastor because I knew by the time I got to Laramie, Wyoming, that I was called to be in Laramie, Wyoming, doing what I was doing. And I didn't refute that. It wasn't my emotions that got me there. It was the Spirit of God. And I knew that I could trust and believe and stand strong with God. So I stayed there the entire time we were there. Then we moved from there to Pocatello and Missoula and all these other places. And each time I would seek the Lord and fast and pray, saying, God, I need to know if it's time. I need to know if I'm supposed to go. And at one point in Missoula, Montana, when pastors, they said, we're moving. We're going back to Nebraska. There's somebody who's calling. They need a church there. And I fasted and prayed. And that time the Lord said, stay. It's important to hear the voice of God, and fasting is one of those ways that we can do that, where you can hear what God wants you to do in a given situation. You know, another thing that happens when you fast is that the favor of God will come upon you and open the doors that He wants you to walk through. Okay, how many want to walk through God's doors? Not ones you forced open. Okay, not ones that somebody else told you to, but ones that you know that God wants you to walk through. Anybody remember the story of Esther? Okay, her and her people were going to be destroyed because of an evil plot of a prideful man. Okay, and she was the queen, but she needed to approach the king about it and talk to him about it. But unless the king requested her to come to her, just approaching him was an immediate death sentence. She was not supposed to approach the king. It was against the law, so to speak. But she came up with a good plan of action. It's in Esther chapter 4. Starting in verse 15. It says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and he did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. That's favor. Okay, that is how fasting opened the door of favor for her to be there. And God's people were spared and saved because of that. You know, another quick example is in the book of Ezra. Okay, Ezra describes how he needed some direction from God. He needed to be able to hear what to do next. So he declared a fast so they could hear clearly. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, he said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek Him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance. And then he and his family were able to hear exactly what they were supposed to do next. Now, some practical things on fasting. One would be that if you fast, when you fast, you don't have to start out with a huge length of time. Okay, that's a recipe for disaster. Your first time fasting and you want to go 40 days, it's going to be tough. Some might make it. A fast can actually be one meal. Okay, you determine, I am not going to eat lunch today. Today is a day I'm going to spend my lunch hour seeking God instead of eating. It can be, you know, you're eating supper one night and then you don't eat again until supper the next night. 24 hours. I can tell you from personal experience, though, that when you get into fasting and you begin to fast more and more, once you get to that three-day mark, you're not hungry anymore. Okay, the hunger pains and stuff kind of goes away. You're weak, but you're still able to do what you need to do. The flesh demonstrates its weakness at that point, but the spirit is immensely strong. You'll be hearing clearly from the things of what God is speaking. Now, you're going to experience some things as you fast in the spiritual realm that you may not be used to. Okay, know for a fact that the devil hates when Christians fast, and he will throw things at you. We're already seeing it because I'm the pastor of the church and I call for a month of prayer and fasting. The devil has thrown one thing after another at us since we declared that. Okay, but also know this, that all those attacks are nothing for God to deal with and to handle. Okay, and it hasn't phased us one tiny bit. It hasn't caused me to change my direction one tiny bit. I just want you to know about that, that those things do come so that you won't have a negative experience in fasting. You know, when we read Esther declared a fast, it said they went 3 days without food or drink. Okay, now I don't recommend going without water when you fast. I think your body is made up a big portion of it in water, right? 80% or something. I mean, it's a huge amount. So drinking water during a fast can be a healthy way to sustain. In fact, those first couple days when your stomach is giving you those hunger pains and cramps and stuff, drink a couple glasses of water. It kind of confuses your stomach a little bit, but it gives you what your body needs. Your body actually requires water. Now, I see fasts in the Bible where they cut out different things. Some of it is kind of sweets. Okay, they'll remove sweets or those kind of pastries and dainty foods. Sometimes people cut out everything but fruits and vegetables. Anybody hear of a Daniel fast? Okay, that's one of the things they describe that. That's what he ate. I know people that have done juice fasts where they throw stuff in their juicer, their blender, and they juice it up and they drink those. One friend went for 40 days on nothing but juice. One of the most spiritual people I've ever met in my life. You know, there's a biblical precedence for all different kinds of fasts that I just don't have time to go into today. If somebody's interested, I'll give them this book. I've got a couple extras up here. But it describes several of the different kinds of fasts that are in the Bible. I want to encourage you to plan to spend extra time in God's Word and find time to be alone with God while you fast. Okay, you can go about your regular daily activities. You got to go to work. You need to clean the house. You got to take care of the kids. You can do all that. But find time to be alone to hear the one that's speaking to you during your fast. Okay, some people just get too busy. They're just doing this and doing that. And, oh, it's time to eat. You know, you decided you were going to finish it at supper time. And you went the whole day and never spent any time alone with God. It's hard to hear what he wants to say to you. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting. Okay, I set my face to do that. That means be determined when you fast. Okay, and also, kind of as we close out here, but from a practical sense, the longer you fast, the slower you're going to want to come off of your fast. Okay, if you fast for a week and then you go out and eat a big old steak dinner and mashed potatoes and gravy and all the fixings, your gut's going to get you. It's going to hurt. Okay, your stomach shrinks when you fast. It's a proven. Your stomach will shrink down. And if you go and just stretch it all out at one time, you're going to have a gut ache. Okay, and maybe more. Maybe problems. Okay, internal stuff can happen. I actually heard a story of a guy that spent 2 weeks without food and barely had enough water or whatever, and he gets to a place and the first thing they did was give him a big old steak dinner and it killed him. Fell dead. Okay, as you come out of a fast, start with, you know, veggies, fruit, a salad, something that's easy for your body to handle and digest. Start small and go from there. So as you leave today, know that fasting has tremendous rewards. It's proven. What God sees in secret, he will reward you openly. That means you're going to see things happening in your life. Okay? You're going to see, like Isaiah talked about, bondages being broken off of you. Okay, and the people that you pray for during your fast. Okay, you're going to feel burdens being lifted. Okay, maybe some of that anxiety or that fear or that stress, that worry, that whatever, you'll feel that being lifted off of you as you fast. You're going to see God's understanding coming into people's hearts and minds as you're praying for them, or you yourself will be able to see Jesus more clearly. You'll see things in the scriptures that you didn't see before. When God spoke through Isaiah, he said that the fast he has called for will, quote, break every yoke. Okay, that means that things are going to look quite different on the other side of a good fast. Okay, so I want to encourage you as we go forth in the rest of this month to pray and to fast for our community. Pray and fast for, you know, every place you go. I've got things, I have streets I'm marking on that map. Other people are doing it too. That as we drive down those streets and pray, we're marking off that I have covered this street in a prayer of God. We're praying for people to get right with Jesus. We're praying for their, wherever they're at in their life. As you drive by, you might be driving by somebody who is on fire for Jesus, passionately pursuing, serving, doing all that stuff. Praise God. Pray for them too, that they'll be filled and to reach more people in their efforts. Okay, pray as you drive by the churches in our community. Pray as you drive by businesses and just pray God's anointing over them. Pray that fear of God, okay, in a reverent sense, is upon them. But pray that the abstinence from God or holding back from Him is taken away, that they can see God for who He is and be drawn unto Him. As we fast and pray, we're going to see things happening in our own community, but we'll see it happening in this church as well. It's already started, and it's just going to keep getting better. So, Father God, we are praising You this morning. We lift our hearts and our voices unto You, Father. You're a good and awesome God. We worship You. We praise You. We thank You for all that You've done in our life. We thank You for getting us to this point, Lord. I praise You and thank You for Your word. I thank You for Jesus for being willing to give us these examples and to teach us about prayer. Father, I pray that You'll prompt us each to seek, to desire, to know more, to step into it little by little, allowing You to lead us into these blessings and the great things that come through fasting. Father, I pray for the rewards to be tangible enough that we can see and encourage us in our faith and our walk with You. I pray that the bondages are broken off of people, that freedom comes, that humility comes, that we humble ourselves before You, Lord. And that as we do this corporately, that we will step into the plan and calling that You have for each one of us. God, we trust You this morning. We do yield ourselves to You. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Last week I taught on